All right. Thank you, Liam. I tell you, that's a good question to ask ourselves. Sometimes folks think they're walking with him when they're not. And you know, he got left behind, kind of lost in the temple, which would be a type of the church. It's possible to lose Jesus even in his church if we're not careful. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. I got some mixed emotions about preaching, trying to stay on the theme a little bit of Roundup Sunday. We had a great time. The auditorium decorated and we had the special music. Appreciated the Aswardy family this morning. Boy, they did a great job for us. And even one of our college professors sang. His horse throwed him right in the middle of it, but he got back on. And joking with Brother Bradley a little bit, did a good job. We had a great time this morning, and praise God for it. Trying to kind of stay on the subject, I'm going to go to 1 Kings 18. It's a long story, and it's well known, but I wanted to draw some parallels from it. And I guess to stay on the roundup theme, I'll call it a fiery roundup. And you'll see that in a little bit. It's a time of apostasy in Israel. People that knew the Lord had let some bad things come in. And it came in from the top down, just like it still does in the world today, and just like it's doing in America, of course. I was trying to think, you know, Roundup Sunday, cowboy theme, and appreciate everybody that tried to dress up that way. And somebody said, you got out of your cowboy stuff. Yeah, those boots were killing me. I said to somebody, I know why John Wayne walked funny. It was those boots he was wearing. But all joking aside, we appreciate everybody that went. And some of you really went elaborate, too. You did a real good job for us this morning, and we appreciate that very much. I think about a cowboy joke. Reaching way back now. That's one of the advantages of getting older. You can reach way back. I think about the cowboy that got him a new horse. But the guy he got him from said, I trained him different. Said, I'm a Christian. Said, this horse obeys Christian language, not the kind that you're used to. So you gotta learn. He said, now look, when you want him to start, you say, praise the Lord. When you want him to stop, you say, hallelujah. That's different than giddy up. Whoa. So he got going on the prairie and riding the horse, and the horse was really taking off, going good. And all of a sudden he realized, I'm fixing to run off a cliff. There's a canyon right there. And he was trying to remember, he's hollering, whoa, whoa, and the horse wouldn't whoa. Finally, just in the nick of time, he remembered to say hallelujah, and the horse stopped. He stood up in the stirrups and looked over and said, praise the Lord. That's an old one. Sometimes, rather have an old one than none at all. All right, you better watch me tonight. I intend to be brief, but I have lied about that a few times in the past. Here's a great story, 1 Kings 18. It's, of course, the story of Elijah. And I like the dialogue that begins here. You got a servant of the king. You got Obadiah. And he's a secret believer in a pagan household. See, Ahab the king is married to Jezebel. Jezebel has brought in the Baalites, the priests, and the worship of Baal, and she's killed almost all of God's prophets. Yet in the household and in command, apparently, of the servants of Ahab, there's a believer. His name is Obadiah. Let's start in chapter 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. Remember now, God's allowed him to stop the rain. God's bringing his judgment here upon Israel and King Ahab. And it says, in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. God said, now, reveal yourself. Ahab been hunting him, tried to kill him even. But now God says it's time to reveal yourself. So, it says in verse 2, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Like I say, he was a secret believer in the Lord. Verse 4, and it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And Obadiah was in the way, as he was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him. Obadiah knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, Ahab, behold, Elijah is here. Now, I like the rest of this. I hope you look at it with me. I like the exchange, the dialogue that goes on here now. He said, behold, go tell your Lord, go tell Ahab, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, Obadiah says this now, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord have not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here. Do you catch that? Verse 12, and it came to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whether I know not. So when I come and tell Ahab that he cannot find thee, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and boy, look what a confrontation coming now. This is high noon on Main Street. Ahab went to meet Elijah. For the sake of time, I'm not going to keep reading. But you know, the next verse is so tempting, verse 17. Let's do it. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? What we got here? We got the king saying to the believer, to Elijah, to God's prophet, you're the problem. Sort of like America today, they believe the Christians are the problem. The White House believes the Christians are the problem. Isn't it an amazing thing today? We're getting blamed for everything. If we would just get out of the way, then the homosexual crowd would be happy. Amen. The terrorist crowd, the Muslim crowd would be happy. By the way, we're going to make them happy one day when the trumpet sounds. They're going to be temporarily happy. It ain't going to last very long, brother. Before they're going to find out somebody's taking our place real soon. But we're in that stage right now where everything seems to be, and young people, I've said it over and over, and especially here recently, you're still on the winning side. I don't care how dark it looks, how bad it is, or what all you're hearing. We are on the winning side. Don't get discouraged. Stay true to God in every way. One day, brother, you're going to see it pays off. Of course, I believe it pays now, but brother, is it going to pay in eternity? Amen? Amen. But you know, in this setting here, false religion had gotten in the driver's seat. Baalism. To the place that when Elijah brings this challenge, as we'll see in just a moment, the people don't know what to say. take all the time I would to read the story, I'm assuming that I'm talking to some folks that read the Bible. If you do, you know the story, don't you? And what a story it really is here. What a powerful thing that it is. And you remember what Elijah does? He said, "Let's have a contest." He calls a ministerial assassination meeting out on Mount Carmel. Remember? And how the 450 prophets of Baal show up and how he challenges them. You go ahead and call on your gods. And the one that answers by fire, he'll be God. Now, it's an interesting thing here as he sets up the terms of the challenge. And what he says to the people, pick it up with me in chapter 18 about verse 21. Ahab's called them together now, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, watch this, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." Watch this now. And the people answered him not a word. That's the place we're at in America right now. We're at the place people are halted between two opinions. They're on the fence, so to speak. And they've lost their voice when it comes to speaking up for the Lord. Very similar situation that I see right here today. Well, now they set up the altar here, and he gives them first chance to call on their God. And notice what they did down in verse 25. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves. Dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods," plural, little g gods, "but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal. How long? From morning unto noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. You know, the Bible says God one day is going to mock when man's calamity coming. The shoe's going to be on the other foot. Elijah said, "Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." Doing a little mocking. By the way, I hope you got a King James Bible, because that's all clean words. If you got a new version, you got some dirty words right here in most of your new versions. I won't get off on that right now. This book is what God has used. Amen. I said in the sermon this morning, do you know that when the astronauts went to the moon, they took a King James Bible with them and left it? Somebody may have started a church up there by now. Who knows? But all joking aside, this book, brother, this book, don't ever line up against this book. Amen. You'll be wrong every time. Amen. Anyway, Elijah mocks them a little bit. Now they jump on, look at the devil in this thing. I was preaching on demons, or teaching in Sunday school on demons this morning. One of the things that the devil will have people do is cut themselves. Cut themselves. Don't have time to tell you a story, but one of the times that one of my staff members and myself had to wrestle with a demon-possessed man, we saw him break windows out of his house, glass, with his bare hands, pull off his clothes, break the glass, take the glass, and cut his body. That's how much the devil will do to you if you let them, kids. I saw that. I know what I'm talking about. And that's what they were doing here. They were cutting themselves and crying to their God. Knives, lancets, the blood gushed out, it said here. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Now, the evening sacrifice is jumping back into the sacrifice now of the Jews, of the worship time of the Jews, of the evening oblation. Now, Elijah takes 12 stones, one for every tribe of Israel. He begins to rebuild the altar here. He puts his bullocks on. Look at verse 33. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill four barrels with water." Now, wait a minute. It hadn't rained in a long time. Water is scarce. The animals are dying because they can't get a drink. Where to get the water? A little interesting thing, if you want to dig deeper in it, is most likely ocean water. You know, men die of thirst on the ocean. They can't drink. But you know why the ocean water would fit for what Elijah wanted? Because the evening sacrifice was to be offered with salt. Salt water came in here. It fit. I won't get off into that. Good study, college students, if you want to make it there. But it's at the evening. By the way, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What time did Jesus say it is finished on the cross? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The sacrifice that this pictured was one day when God's Lamb would be the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Anyway, the offering is made here, and you know the rest of the story. Pick it up with me here. It's the evening sacrifice, verse 36. And verse 37, Elijah's talking to the Lord. He said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord failed and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust." Brother, that's a hot fire. Amen. It took care of the stones, the dust. It licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God." Now in your King James Bible, you got the word Lord, capital letters here, the Lord. It's talking about the Lord God Jehovah. That's the fullness of His name as you translate it here in English. And the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. You know the rest of the story. Elijah brought the prophets before Him and slew them. You say, did he slay all 450? No, if you read it close, you'll find out he had some help, because the people got off the fence. They found out who the real God was. They joined sides here with Elijah. And what we're needing today in our country is people get off the fence. Amen. Get on God's side. Christians, not be ashamed they're Christians. God's people that are willing to speak up and take a stand and declare what's right. We've come to this tattle gray type time in America where nothing is fully right and nothing is fully wrong. And that's the brainwashing they're going into our schools with and going to you in your living room over the TV with. And you watch it long enough, at first you say that's not right. But after a while, you begin to think, well, not so bad. There was a time when if you'd had a homosexual sitcom, funny show on, you wouldn't have watched it. But now some of you don't miss the episode. The sad truth is that by osmosis, it moves in. And the next thing you know, little by little, you've been made a convert, though you would deny you were. You laugh at sinful jokes and sinful appearance. That's displeasing to the Lord. Oh, we need to get off the fence. We need to get our voice back. You notice here, I'm looking at this story. It happened in real time. It arrived quickly. It caught a lot of people, good people, the Jews, asleep. And the next thing they know, the government is changed. And at the top, they wonder, how in the world did Jezebel ever get in here? But she did, and they're afraid to buck her. And the best thing to do is just get quiet. So they'd gotten quiet. Elijah had to run. Stay hid after he declared God's judgment that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, which is a type of what is going to happen in the tribulation period. But with all that said, truth is today, we're seeing a very similar pattern in our country today. We're supposed to be Christian America.
Right. Amen.
Not Muslim America.
Amen.
Not Buddhist.
Yeah.
But Christian. All of our documents declare that. All of our history declares that. And yet all of a sudden God's people have lost their voice and lost their backbone and lost their courage to stand for anything anymore. Here was a country in great confusion. The Jews had the Ten Commandments. They knew they were supposed to have no other gods ahead of the Lord God Himself. And yet Baal had come in and they had accepted this thing. Just like in Islam today, they said, well, Allah is the same God as the Christians. No, He's not. There was over 600 what we'd call Muslim gods. And when old Muhammad said there's only one God, Allah is His name, he meant compared to all the others, but he was the moon god. He chose the moon god out of all the other false gods. And if you don't believe it, they deny it today, but look at their mosque and you'll see the moon. You'll see it there, brother. The crescent moon. That's their sign.
because Allah is the moon god. And he's not the Lord God Jehovah. And yet our kids in school, as I said it this morning, here's a paper I still left up here from this morning, where they're teaching them such things as the main five pillars of Islam. Our schools, our American schools, where you can't bring the Bible in, where you can't have the Lord's Prayer. And they're bringing this stuff in right here, including pledging, I said it this morning, some of you wasn't here, pledging the flag in the name of Allah. Instead of under one God, they say under Allah. What in the world has happened? We're right where Israel was when Elijah brought the challenge to find out who the real God was. They were in great confusion. They were halted between two opinions. And by the way, folks, today, you know what we're doing? We're listening to folks tell us what the polls say. Better tell us what God says. Amen. You ever have anybody, how many of you, raise your hand now, let you raise your hand, get back with me. How many ever had a phone call where they were polling? Well, that's a bunch of hands. Now, I want to ask you one thing, and you don't have to raise your hand. Did you tell them what you really believe, or did you say what was politically correct? If you said what was politically correct, you're a compromiser. That's what you are. I remember one calling me, and they don't call me much, but I remember one called me some long time ago, and they were trying to put words in my mouth so they could write down that I was for this, whatever it was, something to do with politics. And I said, no, I'm against that. And they said, but what about this? I don't know if it was abortion or what it was. What about this? And they went and spilled. I said, no, I'm still against it. They said, well, then what about this? I let them go again. I said, no, I'm still against it. I said, you can talk all afternoon, I'm still against it. You see, they didn't want to put me down as being against it. They wanted to talk me out of it so they could say, under some circumstances, you're for it. No, if it's wrong, it's wrong, brother. That's all there is to it, amen? But you know, we see so much confusion today. The president now is fixing to send 50 of our soldiers, 50 of them over there. I'll tell you what I think about that. Either win the war or come home. Either do it for real or get out of there. And I'd be just as happy to get out of there and build a wall around and dare any of them to come. But the truth of the matter is they are going to come, and if we are going to fight them, we ought to take care of them over there. And I hurt when I see these boys missing arms and legs and see all that. Listen, if it was worth one soldier dying, it was worth whipping the fire out of them, amen? Amen. Help yourself. Amen. Truth of the matter is you're going to send 50 more. They sent 50 one other time. Well, actually, what they did, they sent $110 million to train 50 of the Iraqis. In less than 60 days, all 50 of them had been captured. We lost the $110 million. Now we're fixing to send 50 of our own boys over there. I don't know. I'll be honest with you, and I'll get in trouble. Will you visit me in jail if I go ahead and say this? I think what this country needs is a mutiny from the military down. Just clean house, and I think you know which house I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. Well, Israel was in a bad time. Elijah, God raised up to do something. Right. And there's a prophetical type here, pictured for us, a truth. It pictures a time that's arrived when the common man has lost his say-so. Here they were fearful of Jezebel. They answered him not a word. Early America, the common man had a voice in this country. If you want to know why Donald Trump, and I'd take any of those guys running against who's running on the other side. Some of you didn't expect this tonight, did you? I really didn't either. I was just going to come. I was so tired and just quit, but I can't hardly do that. When I said the other side, I'm thinking about Hillary. Help yourself. You did hear about her really being upset not so long ago
because they made a stamp to commemorate her time as secretary. And she'd gotten word that complaints the stamp would not stick to the envelopes. And she spent some of our tax money to investigate to find out why. Well, she found out. The report came back, said there was nothing wrong with the envelopes, nothing wrong with the stamp, nothing wrong with the stickum on the stamp. The problem was people were spitting on the wrong side. Anyway, we're in a day pictured here by Elijah's contest, amen. When Donald Trump says some of the stuff, and I think it's pretty bold and pretty wild, and I wish he could do everything he said, I got my doubts. But you know why he's up in the polls? Because people feel that way. They're so tired of politicians being elected and then being bought, claiming to be conservative, and when they get up there, they sell out. And so what he is saying there is, I'm not beholden to anybody. That's sort of attractive to us, isn't it? Pray for all of them. It's a mess right now. And with the liberal media, it is really a mess. But we've moved to this PC stuff. We've moved to where the thought police. Have you picked up in the news? They don't only get you for what you say. They get you for what they feel like you are thinking. That's the thought police. It's ridiculous. This one sergeant in the military lost his job. And he's got his testimony out about it. They discharged him because his captain was a lesbian. And she called him into the office, and she was trying to get him to be brainwashed into that agenda that the gender crowd, the homosexual crowd, has, to get him to agree with her position. And he said, I sat there and I never said a word. She would keep trying to get me to agree with what she was saying. He said, I just sat there and looked at her. She was able to fire him, so to speak, discharge him anyway, because of what he was thinking. She knew what he was thinking. That's the day we moved to. Isn't that something? We come to that. A fire chief, did you see it in the news, recently lost his job? Yeah. He's about to retire. Reason he lost his job, on his own private blog or computer, he stated biblically that homosexuality was wrong. And so that got reported on him, and he got fired from his fire chief job that he was almost ready to retire on because of his own private view, which, by the way, is God's view. Amen? Amen. It's God's word about that. Amen? That's where we move to, folks. It is too bad, but it's true. I've seen our Constitution trashed. To where it don't mean anymore. I talked to a lawyer not long ago, and I brought up the First Amendment to him. He said, well, you know, nowadays they interpret that different. I said, yeah, but it says what it always said. It hadn't been rewritten. It's just been the reinterpretations that's being put on it. We're seeing this kind of stuff, and I'm even having a little disagreement here with the city that's growing, I'm afraid. They've desperate for money, and they want to tax the church. But the church is supposed to be tax exempt according to the Constitution. Amen. I'll move off of that and get on it some other time. But it's amazing today. But you know what? In Psalms 2, God said, why do the heathen rage? Why do they think a vain thought? It's interesting. God knows what their plan is. And you read that whole psalm, and it tells how they're rebelling against God and saying, get your strings off of us. And the verse says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. That's what the Bible says. God's going to say, there's a time I'm going to mock your calamity. There's a time I'm going to laugh at your foolishness. There's going to be a time you cross a line with me. And we're very close to that in a lot of areas today, folks. No, there's a day coming when God is going to act. You know, over in the book of Ezekiel, what we got
lined up for what we want to call maybe the Third World War. It's worse than that. What we're going to see, now I'm going to be a prophet here for just a minute. Write it down. You want to catch me and say, all right, you said this and it didn't happen. You young folks, just wait on this just a little while. You're fixing to see the whole world go after nuclear weapons because they're building up, because there's going to be the biggest nuclear war on planet Earth that you can imagine, because the Bible has predicted it and we're seeing it happen right now. Our tax money is helping it happen. As we armor Iran with nuclear weapons, and we're hey, the book of Joel says it's going to happen. The book of Isaiah says it's going to happen. Ezekiel says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We got Russia moving in right now because we've got a weak leader and their strong leader knows it. So all that's moving in. You got all that in the Bible. I can't get out on it now, but there's going to be a time. There's going to be a fiery roundup, and God's going to call the roundup. He's going to round up the nations, and he's going to deal with them just like the book says.
Amen.
And it's going to terminate in real terror. Real terror. I'm almost hesitant to say what I'm fixing to say. God's judgment on his enemies in the Bible is not a pretty picture. When Jesus shows up again, he don't show up as the lowly Jesus, meek and mild. He shows up, Revelation 19, with eyes of flame of fire. He shows up in judgment. And some years ago, I don't know, I got loose on a Sunday morning preaching some out of Revelation, chapter 14, I believe. And I told Hal that when God comes and he reaps the vine of the earth, you read it in Revelation 14. When he reaps the vine of the earth, he comes sitting as it were on a cloud. That's the image, that's the picture. And he reaps the vine of the earth, and he puts it as though the grapes go into the wine press of the wrath of God. And a wine press is where the farmer got in there and stomped on the grapes until the juice ran out the side of the wine press, and that juice, a type of blood, and the Lord Jesus is going to come and land on the heads of the united armies of the world, and he's going to press them into the wine press. And the Bible says in Revelation 14, the blood's going to rise to the horses' bridles. Yeah. Now you study it out, it tells you how many furlongs, and you figured out about 160 miles. You know what? How deep that would be to reach the horses' bridles? At least 3 feet. Can you imagine a valley? And it's over there, you can see the valley. Start with the Mount of Olives, follow the Kidron Valley, right on around, out into the Battle of Armageddon, out to the Valley of Megiddo. 160 miles, the blood is going to be to the horse's bridle. That's not a pretty picture. How many billion people? I don't know. Say you don't think that could happen. Well, the Bible says it will. Bible says so. I preached that on a Sunday morning several years ago, and I had two visiting families. You want to know why Landmark don't grow any better? It's the preacher. He runs people off, scares them to death. They leave with a bad feeling. I think you ought to get another preacher myself. But on that particular morning, two visiting families left and said they're never coming back. Scared the fire out of them. I want to tell you something. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, this book will scare you in some places. Got some scary places on it. When you find out how God's judgment begins to fall on this earth, it's not pretty. It's an awful time. Now, I'm planning on getting out of here before then. In fact, I'm either going to be gone or I'm going to be back with the Lord helping him stomp. Help yourself. It terminates in terror. It was terror. Can you imagine? 450 prophets of Baal, and really somebody wants to add another 400 in there, and you can play with the text there a little bit, might have been 850, but they all got killed.
Right.
And the people sided with Elijah. He didn't chop all the heads off. He might have got a few for fun, I don't know, but they helped him kill them.
Right.
It had to be a bloody mess.
Right.
Don't you think it was?
Yeah.
Sure was. That's why I joke and say it was a ministerial assassination. Bunch of them lost their lives. Now the Bible tells us God's going to have a fiery roundup one day, Revelation 19, eyes with a flame of fire. You can read in Revelation how that God's going to bring fire out of heaven on Gog and Magog and all of that. It's going to be an awful time. It's going to be an awful time. It's going to be a scary time. You know, like with the blood moons, and every now and then they had an asteroid come pretty close to the earth here just recently. There's a lot of folks get afraid. Now, if it'll scare them to Jesus, I'm all for it. But the truth of the matter is, if you get Jesus in your heart, you'll have a peace. And the Bible says that we don't have to have a spirit of fear. We got a spirit of victory. We got a spirit of peace. That's what you got in Jesus. Do you know him as Savior? See, he's my Savior, but when he comes back in judgment, he'll be my champion. Amen. He'll be leading the armies of heaven into victory. That's not a bad thing for us that are saved. Now, we ought to have compassion and a broken heart for those we can't convince to get saved before it's too late. If they could, they won't, but if they would let somebody show them the Bible, it might cause some of them to wake up and get saved. I remember a man, one of my staff members, I sent him to visit a fellow, and he told me, he said, that fellow told me he didn't believe the Bible. He told me that he was not going to get saved. He didn't believe what we were preaching. He didn't believe the Bible. He said, but he wanted me to come back and see him. I said, that's interesting. He said, what should I do when I go back? I said, I'll tell you what. Go back and take your Bible. I mean your whole Bible. Don't even take your soul winner's New Testament. Take your whole Bible. I said, go in and sit down in the living room with him and tell him, you know, he said he didn't believe the Bible, but you have a portion you want to read to him. He said, what portion, preacher? I said, read Luke 16 to him. Read it slow, read it careful, read it all the way through. And he come back smiling. I said, did he let you read it? He said, yes. He said, I'll tell you what else. He got saved too. Hey, the book has got the power on it. And a whole bunch of people that think they don't believe it is because they don't know what it says. They don't know about it. And it's our job, folks, to give it to them. Give it to them because we don't want to see them go to hell. Because we don't want to see them in these awful times that will come. It will happen on the soil of planet Earth. One of these days, very real. I want to be in the roundup around the throne praising Jesus, don't you? Amen. I don't want to be in the fiery roundup that's coming on this world. A roundup of judgment of those that have rejected Christ. College students and others, what you've committed your life to is the greatest cause in the world. Amen. It's a greater cause than being king or president. It's a greater cause than knocking a home run or being on a pro football team. You are involved in the greatest cause in the world. There's going to be a roundup day, a real one. It's going to be an awful time for those that are lost, that are left. Let's try to reach every one of them we can. Let's bow our heads. Father, we appreciate the day. We appreciate the morning. We appreciate the folks that visited because it was Roundup Sunday this morning. We thank you for those saved, and we pray for those that were here lost and went away lost. We pray for their soul. I pray for us as your people, as your church, to be a witness, to be a testimony, to be bold in a day when people have lost their Christian voice and afraid to speak up for the Lord. Help us to be kind and wise and compassionate, but unafraid to share your word. I ask that you bless the invitation.